3 months ago, I got a letter, or not actually a letter, a phone call from a friend of mine. He was in his 70s, and he remembers the time when just about everybody said amen at the end of a prayer. And he'd moved to a congregation where nobody was saying amen. And he was concerned and wanted to know, what's the Bible say about that? Is that scriptural? Is it unscriptural? Do we have to say amen? Do we not have to say amen? So I told him I'd go ahead and do some research on it, because I never really had. And so these are the findings that I had. Some of this is in the bulletin. Some of it's additional material that I put in last night. So I thought about preaching on this, but I thought, well, let's just do it in a class. I'm kind of between classes right now. We're going to start the prison epistles when I get back. We'll do Philippians on Sunday morning, and then we finish Proverbs. We'll start with Ephesians on Wednesday night. But for this couple of weeks, I just kind of wanted to plug some things in. So I found this to be very interesting, and I think most of us remember back, 40, 50 years ago, people were saying amen in the middle of sermons if a point was made that was especially powerful. People were saying amen at the end of a prayer. Most of the people in the congregation were saying amen. And I think we all know that we've kind of drifted from that. And so basically what this is dealing with is, does it matter? And you'll all have to draw your own personal conclusion. I have to draw my personal conclusion based on this information. And so we'll just kind of look at it. Amen is not really mentioned much in the New Testament. Do you know where the command is, or the reason why we say amen at the end of every prayer from the New Testament? There's only one verse. I'll give you a hint. It's in 1 Corinthians 14.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. How will the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't know what you're saying? All right. That's all we have. We don't really have any real information on the amen, except for that one statement. We see it every now and then at the end of something Paul has said, but the understanding of amen, therefore, has to come from the Old Testament, because it's really not mentioned very much in the New Testament. Jesus used it a lot, but I wanted to start because it was God who initially commanded the people to say this specific word. And this word really hasn't been translated. It was amen in Hebrew when it was given. It was amen when it went into the Aramaic language of the time of Daniel. It was amen in the Greek language. It's amen in the Latin language. It's amen in Malawi. It's amen here. It's pronounced differently in some places. But the reason that we use this word is kind of like hallelujah. It's a Hebrew word that has found its way into our language. And it was first used, well, actually, it was used in another place. I'll bring it up later. But the premier verse, I think, that helps us understand this is given here at the very bottom of the first page. And this was a command from God that when you get to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and the people will stand between, and then there'll be people on each mountain, and the Levites are going to speak out 12 curses. And at the end of every curse, 6 of the tribes were commanded to say amen. So the Levites, in a loud voice, would say the curse. And then it's very interesting, because usually the Lord doesn't do this, but if you look at that verse, you can see he repeats it every curse. All the people will say amen. And so, and it's interesting the context there, because what God actually says is, you will be cursing. See, look at the very first verse there. These shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. But they didn't curse. They just said amen. They never had any part in the curse. They just said amen. But by saying amen, what does God say they were doing? They were cursing. All right. The scripture is clear. These shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse. And then he goes on, and the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now, the reason I've capitalized and bolded the word all and the word say is because it's pretty clear that this, can you imagine the Levites speaking with a loud voice and nobody saying amen, but we all said it in our minds? Is that what God wants here? See, that's not what he wants. And if you think about it, who's the amen for? Does God need us to say, I agree with this prayer? Can he see into our hearts? Who really needs to hear it? I don't think it's given for God here. I think it's given because when the person says amen, they are confirming, they are affirming. It's like an oath. Matter of fact, that's one of the uses of this term, is to the woman who drinks the water. The husband's got this jealous sense that his wife has been unfaithful to him. So God has said he can take her to the priest and they can mix up some water with the dirt from the floor of the tabernacle, and she's to drink it, and then she is to say, so be it, amen. And so this is a term that God used, and again, you can see all the way through here. Now, am I saying because of this that we have to say amen? I'm not saying that. I'm saying when it was first introduced, it was very clear that this was not in the mind, this was spoken out loud. And he doesn't say some of the people, he says all the people. Because if you don't say amen, what does that mean about that curse? Did you utter that curse? If you didn't say amen? So, well, I said it in my mind. Well, that's not what God asked for. God asked for all the people to say amen. And again, it's emphasized. God doesn't do this very often. He does this when Solomon institutes the temple. And probably 10 times God says, can God really dwell on the earth? And he says, the heaven and the heavens of heavens can't contain you. And then about 6 different times he says, you will hear in heaven, and then you will answer. And so he emphasizes it again and again and again and again. And that's what he does here. Every curse. He could have just said, there's going to be 12 curses. You're going to say amen at the end of each curse. But what he said, or what he revealed here, makes it very clear that this was something that God instituted. He expected for all the people to say amen. And when the Levites spoke with a loud voice the curse, it says, these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse by saying amen. All right, so I don't belabor the point, but it's very clear here that the people say amen. All right, so this is the institution of it. And again, as I point out at the bottom in that little paragraph, can anyone imagine the Levites speaking these things in a loud voice, only to be greeted with silence? And when they ask, well, why aren't you saying amen? Well, we're saying it in our minds. And I don't think that's, well, clearly that's not what God wanted. All right, let's go ahead and turn to the next page. And I have the Hebrew definitions here. Now, at the very end, we won't even look at it, but at the very end, we have the Greek definition, which is exactly the same thing. But if you look at that second definition there, about 3 inches down from the top of the page or 4 inches down, it's transliterated from the Hebrew. It literally means to be firm, to be steady, to be trustworthy. But in the Old Testament, it is often used at the end of a sentence, meaning truly, surely, certainly, confirms the preceding words and invokes their fulfillment, so be it. Used also in oaths or imprecations, being equivalent to a binding promise. So when you say amen, you're taking the words of the prayer, and what are you saying? So be it. This is my prayer now. I am taking ownership of this prayer, just like they were taking ownership of the curse. Now, again, I'm not affirming that it has to be done out loud. I want us to understand that when we verbalize that word, whether in our mind or out loud, we are accepting everything in the prayer. Now, what do you do? I've wrestled with this for years. What do you do if your mind wanders halfway through the prayer and you don't hear 5 or 10 seconds of it. You say amen or don't you say amen? I can't say amen. If you ever hear me not say amen in a prayer, it's one of two things. Either I didn't agree with something in the prayer, or I didn't hear half of it, because, you know, and I hate to admit this, but every once in a while my mind wanders. I don't know how, probably none of you have that problem, right?
No.
We never wander at all. But it just seems like, you know, they'll say something about somebody, and then we start thinking about that person, and the next thing you know, he's gone on to pray another 5 or 6 sentences, and you didn't hear it. I tell the brethren in Malawi, what if I said in my prayer, every person in this room is going to give me all their property if they say amen, and you didn't hear it, and you say amen at the end of the prayer. What does that mean? Yeah, I'm a wealthy guy. So don't say amen, because you're affirming it. You're making it yours. It's almost like I say, it's binding. And so God doesn't want us to say it unless we've heard the prayer, we agree with the prayer, and we're willing to make that prayer ours. Go ahead, Virgil.
Yes, I personally don't have a problem with saying amen or saying it, either way. But we had a series of lessons years ago in Spokane, Washington, about this. And one of the points that we brought up, and I think that you basically, anyway, I think you covered the same thing, that when we take and utter the words amen, or the word let it be so, which is another way, we're referring then back to God, the one that the prayer was given to reaffirm that we agree with that. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. That's
and,
right.
And that's just another nuance of it. I understand that.
Yeah.
But it makes some sense too.
But does God need to hear us say that?
No. But it's our affirmation.
It is our affirmation. But the question is kind of like we make melody with our singing in our hearts, and that's what God gets. Does that mean we can just sit there and make melody? No, we're to teach one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, and make melody in our heart. So the question is, when we agree with the prayer, is it enough to just send it up to God without letting anyone else hear? How does a person who's praying know that everyone in the room agreed with the prayer if nobody says amen?
Well,
and how does the rest of the congregation know if anybody agreed with the prayer if nobody says amen?
I think the point that the man was trying to teach us at that time, anyway, was that it wasn't necessarily for us. It was an amen that we would take and say in the same sense as a person that sings that is mute and can't. It's in his heart.
Right, but wouldn't you say that's the exception, not the rule?
Absolutely, yeah. But we live in exceptions. No, seriously, we do. And I've found this to be true. I've seen this become a real issue in a congregation, and I see it where nobody cares.
What's that, whether we say amen or not?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there's somewhere in between that the truth is found.
Well, that's right, and it doesn't matter what I think.
No.
What matters is, when we go before God on the judgment day, were we doing it right? As I point out at one of the last paragraphs in this sentence, the members of the Church of Christ are a cautious people.
Yeah.
And if there's any possibility that we should be saying it out loud, then we'll say it out loud. If it doesn't matter, then we won't. And so that's basically what I'm trying to set forth here, because the curse and the amen or a dialogue between the Levites and the people. And God said, I want all the people to say amen, because I want this to be a solemn moment. You're between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. You've just built an altar. Half the people are here. Half the people are here. All the people say amen. Now, if you get 600,000 or let's say 1 or 2 million people saying amen at the same time, is that going to be pretty impressive? You know, you go to a football game sometimes and everybody's saying the same word. It just kind of builds. You know, that's why they say home field advantage, because that's what those words do. So I don't think there's any question that the initial giving of amen, God expected a verbal response. Now, if you look at the very bottom of page 2, you'll see that that continued basically throughout the entire Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 5 and verse 1, may the water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. Then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Now, if she says, well, I'm not going to say it out loud, I'm just going to say it to myself, what will the priest say? You know, you can't do that. You've got to say it out loud because the husband and the priest and God have to hear it. Now, same thing here as we go through. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered and said, amen. 1 Chronicles 16, on the day that David first delivered the psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord, all the people said amen and praised the Lord. Nehemiah, I called all the priests, required an oath from them that they would do according to the promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house. And then all the assembly said amen. And I'm not going to belabor the point. That's what it says also at the next verse in Nehemiah. And then let's go ahead and turn to the third page. You see a couple of more. Another one in the Psalms, another one in Jeremiah, another one, two more in Jeremiah. Now, of course, Jeremiah is saying it himself. But the point is, no one knows if you're affirming it or not unless what? You say it out loud. You have to say it out loud. If you don't say it out loud, there's only one person who knows. And Virgil brings up a good point. Does it matter? Does it matter if any of the rest of us know? Is it only God who needs to hear it? Or since we have come together to exhort one another and stir one another up to love and good works, does that amen? I like it when a congregation is full with amen. That's what I'm used to. But I've been here 10 years. Have I brought this up? See, it's not like it's a hobby to me. It's just like I said, I got a letter from a guy, and the more I looked at it, and you probably notice I say amen all the time now because I've become pretty convinced that I have to do it. Now, I haven't said anyone else, and I won't. But I want you to look at the evidence to understand, why is Alan doing this? Why does he always say amen out loud, so loudly? And what's that?
It's never occurred to me.
Okay, well, yeah, it may not have. Like I say, never really occurred to me either. I didn't even say it most of the time. And Jeannie was telling me on the way here, well, you still don't say it during the Lord's Supper. I said, well, yeah, I kind of keep it quiet during the Lord's Supper. I don't say it out loud. But maybe we'll change that too. I don't know. Did I see a hand? Rob?
Well, I appreciate the discussion. I've really never heard much teaching on it, and I appreciate that. The other thing is that the man that is praying in our worship service is praying on behalf of the congregation. He's praying to God, but we're all praying, if you will, through that person. That person's verbalizing the prayer to God on behalf of the congregation. Is that not right?
I'm sorry, Rob. My mind wandered, and I don't know.
So
what
is
you just said.
Is
say
the man again. The man that's praying is okay. Praying on behalf of the congregation?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, whether we should say it or not, I say amen, but I'm not binding it on other people, but. The other thing is, too, is that if the man says something wrong in this prayer, then we can't say
then
amen.
Nobody says but amen, then, and the guy goes, uh-oh.
Well,
we better find out what happened.
You might want to take that person aside and just say, you know, that's a right. Learning opportunity. I'm not saying we're, you know, picking people apart, but if they say something wrong, I've had people come to me and ask me why I said certain things. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, yeah, I think we have to do that.
Working together.
We're our brother's keeper. If we feel like something was said that shouldn't be said, we, you know, unless it's something that is not a big deal. Patrick, then Charles, then Virgil, and then Wither, then. Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, if you said amen before we agree with the water of God, not with men, you understand. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 22, see why it's saying in verse 20 to 21. He said, he who testifies to these things say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. So we agree to the wall. Jesus is coming soon. So we agree. We say what? Amen.
Right.
So the church say amen to that because we agree to it. Not right. To somehow contrary the scripture. Okay, if you read from the one again, then he say, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God people. Amen. Which is true. We agree to that. The grace of God. So when we look at amen as a start or agree with the word of God, now we will amen. Okay? Because if you know people make mockery of amen, which is very wrong. If you read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, it's a sin. You see, there were Solomon put it in this way. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. He said, he said, who mocked Allah, making amen for sin. You see that? So we should be very careful how we do, make mockery. Because if we don't understand something, as you said, be silent. But if they want to go, then we do it. But don't make mockery of it.
Right.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, I used to like it. I would be preaching and somebody would say amen. Because what is that telling you? Yeah, they agree with you. I like it when people agree with you. Now, we've gotten away from that. And again, I don't know whether there's a scriptural precedent or that or not for saying amen at that point. Although, amen is a beautiful word. But at the same time, it can be disruptive. So I've never really, I'm not going to get up here tomorrow and say, look, I want, or not tomorrow, this afternoon, and say, look, I want everybody to say amen whenever I make a good point. Because I need your affirmation. I don't. Okay, hang on, Rob. We got Charles, and we got Virgil. Now we got you. Go ahead, Charles.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, coming from a congregation where a lot of people did say amen, you know, and then coming to a congregation where a lot of people don't say that, you know, I think, you know, let your yea be yea or your nay nay. In other words, if you agree with something that is being said, you're listening to the prayer. You listen to the prayer. And if you're agreeing with that, then you say amen because this is something like it's a point that's being made, and that point that's being made is very important, maybe to that individual. Now, the individual that's doing the praying, that's how that person see how whatever they're praying about him. And if you agree with that, agree with what he's saying, then you do say amen to that.
Yeah.
If you don't, well, then
you can't.
You can't. I can't say that. I mean, I can't say amen to that right
now. Yeah.
I don't agree with it. That's just kind of weird. I see that now, but
right.
Some people don't see it.
Well, let's take this to its logical conclusion. The man up here is praying. He says, I'm going to just say it in my head. I'm just going to say amen and go sit down. What would we say? Can he do that? I mean, if we can do it, why can't he do it? And it's not, you know, most people say, well, amen is, we don't know the prayer's done until he says amen. Well, is that what it's for? It's not for that. It's for the man to affirm, I'm sending all of this up to God. I agree with everything I just said. And then we decide, well, if we don't have to say it, does he have to say it? If he has to say it, do we have to say it? Like I say, it's just an interesting conundrum. And I'm just, like I said, you're trying to bring it out. Virgil, you had a point?
Yeah. Two things. First of all, I wholeheartedly agree with what you said, Alan. I'm not being critical.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I don't have any dog in this hunt. You guys are all going to have to stand
up. The areas that I have seen this thing move back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring it more closer to home, when I was still a member at Boston Street, and maybe George was there at that time too, I cannot remember, but Jim Parsley, who George knows, brought the issue up, exactly what he talked about. That he was going to start using the word "let it be so" at the closing of his prayers. And my counsel to him was, which I had very little, was make sure that people understand what you're doing. Because for so long, nobody has said amen at the end of anything.
Right.
So anyway, one morning he tested it out. And he said, amen. He actually left the front of the auditorium and we went back and stood there and everybody's still standing there with their heads down. That's not a good show.
No. No, it's not decent and orderly, is it?
Whatever we do have to, you mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, 14. We have to do it decently and in order.
Right.
No question about that. So if we're going to say it, if we're going to do it, then let's do it wholeheartedly.
Right.
If we're not going to do it, then continue the way we are. If we want to take it, leave it in between, then so be it.
Sure, yeah, and I don't see that there's enough information to bind it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just see that there's enough information that I'm going to do it, because I think that's the precedent that we see throughout the Old Testament. And as I say, when we get into the New Testament, we'll see it also. Rob, you had a point you want to make?
This question was raised about women. Can women say amen? I've heard some say, well, women are be silent. They're not to say so. I don't know if you want to deal with that, but...
Well, if women can sing, they can say amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard anybody say women can't sing because they're supposed to be silent.
Yeah.
Because when the song leader's leading the song and the women are singing, are they in submission? Yeah. When the man praying says amen, are they in submission if they say amen? Are they taking authority over the man? No, they're just agreeing with the prayer. So I don't see an issue with that, although many women are a little bit reticent to just belt it out. They'll say it under their breath, or they'll say it out loud, but they won't, you know, they're not going to make an issue out of it. So
anyway, a couple more quick things. You were mentioned during a sermon. I've attended places where there were just so many amens. I mean, it was good that they say, but then the preacher would say something and nobody said an amen. I thought, well, I'd be saying amen to that. So it can be, like Virgil's saying, it can be confusing where it's overdone. In a sermon. Now, prayer is a different deal. And I've always thought that when somebody's praying publicly, that they're actually, amen's kind of a question mark, right? They're, amen, amen, amen. Or are you amening or not amening? So I kind of view it that way. And so you're saying that it's acknowledging to God that this is the end of my prayer. This is coming up to you. Because I've asked people, do they say amen in their personal prayers?
Yeah.
And some people say, well, why? Nobody's listening except me. But then
you see the inconsistency. We have to do it here.
But it's being offered to God, you're saying. That. Right. That's you're saying to God, are you accepting my prayer? Is that what you're saying? Both the people and God?
Here's how I've illustrated it through the years. If I give you a check and I don't sign it, what's it worth?
Nothing.
What do I have to do to affirm that that check is mine and that I agree with that amount of money?
I got to sign it.
Yeah. Well, Rob, I'm thinking I signed it. Here's your check. I have affirmed it with all my heart. Here's the check. And, well, you didn't sign it. Well, I don't have to sign it because I've affirmed it. Well, you know, and I'm not saying that's apple. I'm not saying that's apples and apples. That's probably apples and oranges. All I'm trying to affirm is that throughout the Old Testament, whenever a curse was given, whenever an oath was given, whenever a wonderful statement was given, all the people said amen. They wanted that affirmation to be publicly acknowledged. Patrick, you had your hand up earlier still?
Yeah. You see, the word amen, it also means it's true. Okay. Because if we agree with something, that means it's true.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So let's look at Revelation chapter 19, okay, and look at 4. He said that for the four elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, and they cried, amen. You see, that means God is true.
Right.
So we should understand the point you're making. You are making a good point concerning a brother who maybe will stand up and say something different, contrary to the scripture. We can't say amen to that.
Right.
Because it's contrary to the scripture. But if you say something exact from the scripture, which is true, we say amen to that. Okay? But this is why we need to understand the word amen and not to say amen.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly right. Are you working up to a comment?
Yeah, yeah.
I see your hand starting to get up there.
I'm trying to frame the thought. But
okay.
To me, it's an emotional response because I have said amen during the course of a sermon probably maybe half a dozen times. in my entire Christian life. Mm-hmm. And it came at a moment where I was just, wow, that was really profound, and I really agreed with it, and just, you know, it was just a, it was almost reflexive.
Yeah. I find myself doing that.
Yeah, a Pentecostal would probably say I was overcome with the Holy Spirit, but also all I was just doing was just really agreeing. It was an emotional agreement.
Right, right.
And I think it's, you know, there is an element of emotion where we do respond with amen.
But most of us are responsive. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how excited we get about it. Well, amen, Alan. That was good. Amen. Amen. I've heard you talking back there.
Yeah, I get, you know, and I guess I just don't understand, because, I mean, I pray every prayer I end, I pray out loud. I always say amen out loud at the my own. It's just one-on-one prayer to me. It's just, yeah, that's another thing. Is that this is my offering,
right?
And I'm handing this over to you, Lord.
Yep. All right. We're getting everybody talking. We're getting everybody into this. Now, let's look at let me just quickly affirm, you know, this last little point there above amen in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit started using amen. He didn't use it very many times in the Old Testament. The New Testament is used a lot. But in the Old Testament, we only have these three uses, but they're doubled. Amen and amen. So, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. All right, so that's an especially prominent point. Now, as I point out in the next section, all we have in the New Testament, in the church, is given there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other, he's not edified. So, again, if God had said, how shall the unlearned think amen at your giving of thanks, then this we wouldn't even be having this discussion. But normally, what does the word say mean? I mean, if you say, for example, the good confession. If I say to you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of the living God? And you say, yeah, in my mind I said yes. But you don't say it out loud. What am I going to say?
I don't know.
We call it a public confession because it has to be said. It's not enough to think. I mean, thinking is enough for God, but we need to hear the affirmation. And so Paul here, essentially what Paul is saying, and this is why I find it so fascinating, what Paul is saying here is that everything in the Old Testament has simply moved into the New Testament without really any direction, because you don't find it anywhere else. Now, Jesus used it. You see that next point. Jesus used it over 100 times in the four Gospels. He would say, now, sadly, we've translated it, verily, verily, or truly, truly. But if we hadn't translated it, we would see 100 times Jesus using the word amen, just like it was used at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, just like it was used by Nehemiah, and just like it was used by the Holy Spirit here, where he says amen and amen. So is Jesus validating the use of amen? Well, certainly he is, because he uses it 100 times. Go ahead, George.
The dear Americans, the New King James, at least, Jesus, in speaking what we commonly call the model prayer in Matthew, the Bible has amen at the end of it. In Luke, it doesn't.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure if we could conclude anything from that, but it appears that maybe Jesus wasn't saying that we should say amen at the end of the prayer.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think we can be dogmatic. Although, do we expect people who are leading the public prayer to say amen at the end of their prayer? Would it be disruptive if they didn't?
Right, yes.
And then the question is this human tradition or is it scriptural tradition? And that's where George is coming from. But Paul's statement here seems to indicate that whenever a blessing is offered, and of course every prayer, we bless and praise God. And so I think that we certainly have enough precedent here to draw that conclusion. And in the New Testament, again, you see all these verses. And it's an interesting point, George, because many of the amens in the New King James and Old King James Version didn't get into the newer translations because there's a lot of variance in the versions that have come down. The various the Textus Receptus has all of those amens, but the rest of them don't, and so some of the later translations have left some of these out. As I said earlier, we're cautious people. When in doubt, we don't if we're concerned that it's wrong, and when in doubt, we do if we're concerned that it's right. And so let's go ahead and turn to the last page. I wasn't sure we finished, but I think we will. Patrick has brought up the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation, of course, we have to be careful with it. Do they have harps in the book of Revelation? They have instrumental music in the book of Revelation? Yeah, so you have to be careful. It's symbolic language. But the living creatures say amen. The 24 elders and the living creatures say amen. And the Lord himself says amen. So the conclusion that I've drawn is that from the very beginning of the nation of Israel and throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, amen was always spoken out loud. No question about it, no doubt at all. Was it said in their mind? Maybe, probably, could be. Can we prove it? You can't really prove that they only said it in their minds. Now, they may have, but I can prove they said it out loud. So what does that mean? Well, I think everybody must say amen. Well, no, I'm not going to go that far. I don't know if that's true. But it's fascinating that God revealed the word, gave the word, and then commanded that it be spoken out loud. So I think that's a safer way, and that's the way I'm going to go. But I'm not going to judge her or say anything about anybody else. George, you had another comment?
In the Old Testament, the prayer of both David and Solomon, for instance, I don't recall the amen being used, but I'd have to go look and see.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because even in the New Testament, that's true. When they said, "Thou, Lord, who knows the hearts of all men, show of which these two..." And the amen was not spoken. So what are we going to make of that? Shall we pull it out of our prayers, our public prayers? Should we pull it out of our private prayers? It's all conscience, you know, and it's all what is the best possible way to do this. And I think that's really where we're at, because, you know, that's a good point. It is not consistently used in the prayers in the Old Testament or the prayers in the New Testament, that at the end of every prayer that word is spoken. Now, does that mean it wasn't spoken? Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't mean that. Because does God put everything in there? But does it leave us with some concern that maybe we can't affirm this too strongly because sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't? Well, like I said, that's what makes this topic so interesting. But I think we all agree that when a man is leading a public prayer, and Paul seems to firm that up, you know, the verses we're talking about are before the New Covenant started. And so after the New Covenant started, the only thing we have is this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and that's what we've got to go with. The unlearned must say amen if they know what's being said. Patrick, you had a point, and then Charles?
I like the scripture quoted from the beginning that God commanded the children of Israel to say amen. They were commanded, even by our Heavenly Father,
right,
to say amen. Then the question is, who are we to be guided with the word of God? Because if God commanded the children of Israel, are we dealing for the children of Israel? No. You see, that's the one make us a Christian. A Christian, why? To obey the word of God, but not to what? Disobey the word of God. That was Samuel told Saul, obedience is better than what? It's sacrifice.
Right.
So coming, leaving our houses, to come in here is sacrifice. But putting the word of God into practice is obedience. So you understand that when we understand 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, but also all scripture is what? God's plan. It's God's word. So when you're written in the word of God, for me, I will obey it. I'm not yet a question of God's word,
God will enter the place for heaven. So if people will say, if optional, you choose. This is what Joshua told the children of Israel. He said, choose today. Who are you going to serve? For me, I let to serve the Lord of our Father and obey His word. That's it. So
right.
Then
yeah, and I agree with that. But as George has pointed out, as some of the others have pointed out, some prayers do not end with amen, which leaves us with some question. Why didn't it end in amen? The prayer that Jesus offers in John 17, does it end in amen? See, it doesn't. Now, did he say amen? Maybe. Probably. We don't know. But if we don't know and everybody else is commanded to do it, what should we do? You know, it's kind of like, here's an interesting point, because Prince and I have gone round and around with this in India. And the same in Malawi. They have a real issue with this. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, baptize them in the name of what?
The Son and the Holy Spirit.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 2, when Peter gets up, what does he say? Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says the same thing in Acts 10. And he says the same thing in Acts 8. And you never find a single instance where they said in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So should we, and there's a tract on this, there's a doctrine on this. Should we baptize in the name of Jesus only? And my answer to them is, we have a command from Jesus to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, why Peter and the others did not do it is not my concern. What am I supposed to do?
Told.
Jesus told me to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's what I'm going to do. And when God tells the children of Israel they should all say amen, then I'm going to submit to that. Now, but I'm not going to bind it on anyone else, because there's enough in there that if you say, well, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. Well, okay, you know, you're welcome to go before God with that. I don't have a responsibility there. Charles, you had a question or a point?
It seems as though a lot of times Christians are on the point right here where we may think about, are we adding something to God's word or are we taking something from God's word?
Right.
That's kind of what the discussion is about right here. We don't want to add anything. We don't want to take anything away from it.
Right.
You know, also along the same lines too, if there is someone who obeyed the gospel, somebody go around and it's okay, and it's okay, well, this person wants to be baptized, you know, and then they are baptized. Now, I have said thank God or amen to that right there, too, because I know that soul is very important right there. Now, that's me.
Right.
That's how I look at that. That soul is very important right there. When that person comes up out of the water during the baptism, I have said, you know, thank God for that and amen to that right there, too, because that right there is a very important step. In other words, was it important to you when you got drafted? I know it was to me, because I could be still walking around here thinking that I'm saved.
Right.
You know, so not to me, that's just my opinion or my thought about it.
Yeah, and I think there's enough variation in the scriptures. I mean, it's obviously not a prayer at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. It is a statement of affirmation. If somebody says something from the scriptures and we want to make a statement of affirmation, can we say that's a sin? I don't think we can. Culturally, we've gotten away from it. I often think that when a visitor comes in, if everyone said amen, it might have an impact, but maybe it wouldn't. So again, we're in the realm of, we have just enough scripture to draw a fairly firm conclusion, but not enough to bind it. And so I'll just kind of leave you with that. And I would urge you to read through this, because I didn't cover everything I said in here. There's some pretty profound thoughts in here, in my opinion. No, but I think that you might find some benefit in looking at it. Just thinking about it. Like I said, if nobody says amen after this, I'm not going to feel hurt. Well, maybe a little, but not too bad. I'll get over it. All right, we'll go ahead and stop there and leave that for you guys to work out. Thank you.